Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hemmerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
Unknown Threat by Lynn H. Blackburn. U.S. Secret Service Special Agent Luke Powell knows it's not a coincidence when three friends and fellow agents die in unusual circumstances within weeks of each other. As more agents are targeted, the stakes become higher than ever. FBI Special Agent Faith Malone is placed in charge of the investigation and must work with Luke to bring the killer to justice before any more names are added to the Secret Service Wall of Honor.
Hi, and welcome to this episode of The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hemmerker, and I'm so glad you joined me. Today, my guest is Lynn Blackburn. She's the author of Way Too Many Books to List. I'll tell you that right now. And I'm excited to have her on the show to talk about her latest romantic suspense and other writing things. So welcome to the show, Lynn.
Thank you for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
So now, your bio says that you're passionate about CrossFit, coffee, and chocolate, and the alliteration is just fun. Did you do that on purpose? Three C's?
Yes, but it is all true, although I have not, sadly, been able to be in my CrossFit gym much in 2020, partly because of COVID and also because I have an ankle injury, and ooh, I have missed it, but I am not an athlete. I lean more toward the coffee and chocolate side of this situation, but we have the most amazing group, and it's like a family, and I love being there, and I'm actually hoping to get back soon, even though I expect I may die after the first day, because it's always brutal to get back in the groove. But I'm so not an athlete that the idea of me like doing deadlifts and anything with barbells is not a match that you would expect, but it's true. I actually really love it. So I'm excited to get back, even though I do anticipate I won't be able to walk for days afterwards.
Yeah. I know. We had our treadmill break in August. I mean, we've had this thing. It was like a hand-me-down from my in-laws, and it was like a workhorse. And then it finally started to get a hole in the belt, which is like, you know, going to kill yourself walking. I walk. Right. My husband runs, and a couple of our kids run, and so we were, you know, having to walk outside, but of course, this was August in Virginia, so you can see how well that went. Hot. If you don't know, it's hot and humid, and you can hardly breathe. So by the time we finally got the treadmill and got it set up, it was like months later because, you know, everyone's working out at home now.
Exactly.
Yeah, so we were all like, you know, gasping, and yeah, it was not a fun time in our home because everyone was cranky about being sore and back to working out.
That's one thing. Most CrossFit boxes do not have air conditioning. That's part of the fun.
Part of the fun.
I use that word very loosely. And I'm in South Carolina, so I feel your summer August pain because, yes, it's, you walk outside and you immediately start sweating and you can't breathe. And there are massive fans, and my favorite spot is the spot right in front of the mega industrial size fan, because that's the only way I'm going to survive if I work out during the summer or get up at 5:30, which is, I'm not a morning person, so 5:30 a.m. is brutal, but I have done it. It's just hard. I prefer to stay up late. Yeah.
Yeah. So when do you write then? Do you write at night? Do you write? How do you fit writing into your schedule?
You know, I wish I could.
You don't know.
Well, I get up and I have my coffee and my quiet time, and then I write from 9 until 12. And I have a dream that someday I will have an actual writing schedule, and that it will be lovely, and that maybe it will make sense. And the truth is that my answer is usually I don't know. Most of the time, by the time I get to the end of a book, I'm like, I don't know how that happened. How did I do that? Because I have three kids. My oldest is almost 18, heaven help me, and she has disabilities and special needs. And so it's more like having a toddler, early elementary in the house. And then my boys are 12 and almost 10. And my daughter goes to school at a, we have a wonderful special ed where I live. And she goes to school and is in a classroom during the day that she loves. But I homeschool the boys. And so, you know, my day starts usually with taking Emma to school, and then we transition into doing school with the boys. And it really depends on where I am in the deadline process, how desperate I am to cram 15 minutes of writing here and there. And I typically end up doing a lot of writing in the evening after everyone has gone to bed. We actually, a few years ago, after I signed, when was it? I think it might have been after I signed with Revell. We actually turned a storage area off of our bonus room, an attic storage area space, into an office. So it's about 10 by 10, and half of the ceiling is angled almost to the floor because it's up in the roof, basically.
Right.
But
right.
It's a room of my own. I have a space. And so a lot of times my kids are used to me saying, this is the part where you pretend mommy has left the house. I'm telling you goodnight now.
Yeah.
And you're going to pretend I'm not here anymore. And you're going to, because otherwise they come in to tell me goodnight 18 times and I can't get anything done. And I love that they do, but also I need to concentrate. So that's a really long answer for whenever I can, but it is typically in the evening or on the weekend. I do end up writing a lot on the weekend. So I just have to get it in where I can.
Yeah, and I think that, we all have seasons of life where that is how we operate, for whether we write or don't. Excuse me, that's when we sometimes we have to just fit it into where we can.
Yes.
You know, I've been a freelance writer for years before I started writing fiction. And, you know, I have four kids, and they were, you know, when they were little and home, if I had 15 minutes, well, that was 15 minutes I was spending writing whatever assignment I had due, there's many a time I had a swing in the office and the baby's crying in the swing and I'm pounding out the article.
Yes.
And, you know, you get used to it, and I think it's good for our kids to see us as not just moms, but as writers or fill in the blank, whatever else that you do. And I think that that's such an important thing. Not that we do not love our children to pieces, but we are separate from them in creating that writing space and that writing time and saying, yeah, I love you. Good night. I'm going to go work now on my writing.
Yes.
And that's,
I agree.
Yeah.
And my husband, sometimes when I start to have moments of, you know, mega mom guilt, he'll go, look, you're with them all day. You can go to the office and tell them good night. And I'm like, yes, I can, but they, you know, kids can make that mom guilt is real. But
yeah.
I also think it's real for sure. But
yep.
I do love that God's given me something I can do in the nooks and crannies. I can do it in between things, and I do get to spend a lot of time with my kids, and I love my kids. But I also think for me, sometimes having that other thing, which obviously for me is writing, but whatever it is, like you said, that's outside. I don't really think kids benefit when the whole world revolves around them, because
no.
You know, they're going to grow up and find out it doesn't.
It's better they learn that from us, and we
better
people
they
who
learn
really
it now
really
in
love
a loving,
them
in a loving way, but the world does not actually revolve around you.
Yeah,
and
right.
Yeah, and that there are other things, and that. You know, I will give you have my heart, but mommy needs 2 hours. And
yeah,
and my kids don't. I started writing, my youngest, Emma was six, but James was 6 months old, and Drew was not born. And I actually sold my first book the summer after Drew turned three. So they don't know any different. Yeah, they don't have any idea what it's like to not have a mom who apparently disappears into a fictional world, and from time to time, and they roll with it. They're good sports right now. I said I homeschool, so while we're talking, my boys are fixing lunch and doing a math test. And I'm going upstairs to my office. Please don't bother me until I come down. Like, yes, ma'am. You know, so And it's different, yeah. too, I think, too. If anyone's listening with young children, yeah. it was so much harder when they were babies to find those pockets. And
yes,
I always want people, you know, what I can pull off now, even being able to tell them goodnight and go to my office, I couldn't do that. Even 3 or 4 years ago, that wasn't an option. They still needed a lot more of me, and that's fine. But that's where, that's where I am now. And it is nice to be able to say, go make a sandwich. Let mommy take care of this. And they roll with it, and it's good for them and for me. So
it is.
We make
and,
it work.
Right. And I think that is, you know, as we talk, I feel that writing, let me back up. I feel that writing is, integral part of my calling from God, that he's given me this
yes.
gift
mm-hmm.
and
yes.
that I need to use it. And that means that I'm not with my kids 24/7, although we're all in the house 24/7 because they can't go to school. Dadgummit. at least where we are at this point,
yes.
my girls are in high school. They're doing virtual school. I actually am homeschooling my two middle school boys this year because virtual school and middle school boys didn't seem like a good fit for my particular boys.
I'm with you. I have a 12-year-old. Yeah.
Yep. I have a 12 and, a 14-year-old. So, yeah.
Yep. Fun time. There you go. Yep.
And it is, but I think that when we look at it that way, we when we have those pockets, we use them. And if you're listening and you have small children, it can be done. But you have to learn to work with less, I think, 15 minutes, yes. 20 minutes, and yes. make those minutes count. If you want to be a writer or if you want to pursue any other kind of hobby and or, crafty job or side gig or whatever you want to do, you have to learn to work with what you have. And I think that's, that's an important, it's a life skill. And it's in showing our children that as well,
yeah.
that if you have a
Absolutely.
Dream, you can achieve it, even though, your life may on the surface look like you don't have any time.
Well, it is. When I look back, I actually wrote a blog post about it recently because I was looking back and realized that every time I've had a really significant milestone in my writing career, my life has been an absolute chaotic mess to the point where you go, what were you even thinking to enter that contest or submit that proposal? Because life did not, there was nothing about my life in that moment that would indicate that that was a good idea. And yet
right.
that's when I, sold the book and sold the series and those kinds of things. And I tried to encourage people, God's timing is perfect, even though we can't always see it in the moment. And that includes his timing for things like, when you should say yes to something, sometimes it doesn't make logical sense, and that's when he's going to work something beautiful out of it. And for me, I have a definite control freak side of myself and a massive perfectionist streak. And I always want to be able to figure out how this is going to work and make sense of it. And inevitably, God shows me that it's all on him because he does these things in times when there's no way for me to look at it and go, oh, I did that. There's
mm-hmm.
absolute, I can't. I look at it and go, what on earth? How did that happen?
Yeah.
That was God because I know that was not me. And I think that's part of that calling and also part of him keeping us dependent on him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't remember who said it, but someone said, God's not going to give you a life you can manage because you will. And
right.
that's true for me. If I had a life I could manage, I'd manage it. I'd do just fine. Thank you very much. And instead I am continually made aware of my need for him and my dependence on him to do this thing he's called me to do, because I absolutely cannot make sense of it and can't do it on my own. And I do. I look back at every book and go, wow, I don't know how that happened. And therefore I know God did it, because I sometimes even looking at it go, I don't know how, where did that time come from? I know, obviously I sat down and I did the work, but I also know that that's God very often. What is that verse that he gives us the will to do things that sometimes I am tired. I do not want to work on something, or I would much rather do something else. And yet I'm in here and I'm working on it. And I think that's also God helping us, empowering us through the Holy Spirit to fulfill the calling He's put on our lives. And so it's humbling and also beautiful when He does that, because it shows that He's at work and He's doing something that is beyond, it's way beyond me. And I'm glad I get to be a part of it.
Yeah, and I think that is one of the wonderful things that we also get to experience writing, you know, Christian romantic suspense, because we can bring that faith element into it and help our readers to see how that maybe looks like in a real situation that we fictionalized for our books. So we're almost out of time, but I did want to ask you how you connect with readers. And, you know, you've written many books, so I'm sure you have many readers. How do you keep that connection with them?
Well, you know, I have a newsletter, and I always, I don't spam people with it. I send it out about once a month. And that's the best way to keep up, because you know how social media is. With algorithms and things, if you follow an author, you might not get their posts, and they may be posting every day and you still don't see it. And the newsletter drops into your inbox and it's there, and it's always the best way to follow an author is to follow, sign up for their newsletter. That's my plug for authors everywhere. Sign up for their newsletter.
Yes.
So this year I did something I had not taken the time to do, but I am finishing up one series, and the new book that comes out in March is the first book in a new series. So I actually wrote a novella, and I gave it away to my newsletter subscribers, and it ties my Dive Team Investigation series to the new series. So that's one way that I tried to give a little gift to my readers and say, hey, I love you guys. Thank you for sticking with me from one series to the next, and here's something fun. And I sent it out on Christmas Eve as a Christmas gift, and it's been fun to get feedback from readers who are excited about revisiting the characters that they've been missing and getting a glimpse of the characters they're going to see. And then I also have a reader Facebook group that is specifically for my readers. That's one of those crazy things about Facebook. Author pages, you might or might not see them, but if you are in an author's group, a Facebook group, a specific page devoted to that, you're more likely to actually see the posts. So that's something I also did this year, and we're having a blast. We call it the Deep Divers, and it's you can, if you search for it on Facebook, it's the Lynn Blackburn Deep Divers. And it's a fun way. I try to make sure I pop in there. I do some exclusive stuff there. Sometimes I'll just show up and do a FaceTime Live in there and talk to them, drop hints about books, and let them kind of be on the inside scoop of what's going on. And it's, of course, right now with a book getting ready to launch, it's extra fun because I have most of my street team, I think, in fact, all of my street team came from the Deep Divers, and everybody on my street team was a Deep Diver. So it's a fun way to connect, and especially these days when we can't do anything in person, really. We can't have reader events, things like that. So making the best of it with social media and newsletters and digital options.
And if you're listening to this podcast, I do have all of Lynn's social media links and website listed with her bio. So that's a great way to wrap up today. So thank you so much for being on my show, Lynn.
Thank you for having me. I've really enjoyed it.
You've been listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hammerker, and today I've been talking with Lynn Blackburn. Stay tuned for an excerpt from Unknown Threat, her latest book.
Now an excerpt from Unknown Threat by Lynn H. Blackburn. Luke Powell's head throbbed as he parked his sedan in the empty lot and glared into the nearby trees. The darkness had just begun the slow fade toward dawn, and the U.S. Secret Service special agent could barely make out the trailhead. He used to love Mondays. There was nothing quite like tackling the week and showing it who was boss before the sun had a chance to reach the horizon. He didn't love Mondays anymore, and he hated running alone. Where was Zane? If he didn't show in the next 3 minutes... Headlights pierced the pre-dawn air. Finally, Luke climbed from the car and paced in front of it until Zane joined him. U.S. Secret Service Special Agent Jane Thacker didn't speak, but fell in beside Luke as they walked toward the trailhead. Until 11 weeks ago, they'd been a trio. Barring protective details or urgent cases, Luke, Zane, and Thad had met here every Monday morning to tackle the three-mile trail around the lake. Thad was the one who introduced them to it when first Zane and then Luke joined the Raleigh resident office. It had been Thad's favorite place to run, and since his death in February, Zane and Luke had continued to meet here every Monday. It was as if they would be spitting on their friend and mentor's memory by failing to go for a run. It was pathetic, but for now, it was all they had. They still couldn't explain to Thad's widow, Rose, why her twins had celebrated their 8th birthday over the weekend with their daddy's buddies instead of their daddy. They could tell Rose all about the explosive that had ripped Thad's car in half. They could tell her there had been a woman of Asian ancestry, somewhere between 29 and 35 years of age, in the car with him. But no one could tell Rose who the woman was or why Thad had been at dinner with her. And most devastatingly of all, no one could tell her who had killed them. Some buddies they turned out to be.
"Hold up, man."
Zane stopped and propped his foot on a nearby bench. They'd reached the midpoint of the trail, and Luke looked out over the lake beside them as Zane tied his shoe.
"Oh, that party nearly killed me."
Zane popped to his feet and they resumed their pace, running side by side.
"I had no idea 8-year-olds could be so vicious. I could have lived my entire life without that experience."
Luke loved Betsy and Bobby Baker like they were his own niece and nephew, but their party had been slow torture. He'd spent half the time playing laser tag with Betsy, and the other half getting a massive beatdown from Bobby at basketball. The twins had fun. But Luke had been completely unprepared for the chaos, the noise level, and the amount of sugar consumption.
"The twins are great on their own, but I think next year we should see if Rose could choose something calmer," Zane said. "Instead of going to an arcade, maybe we could take them to a movie or something. They won't be here next year."
Luke had tried to keep the emotion out of his voice, but based on Zane's quick,
"What?"
he hadn't succeeded.
"She told me last night after the party. She's moving to Texas in June. Her parents have a big ranch, and they're fixing up a small house on the property. The kids will have their own horses, and they'll have cousins and uncles and aunts and grandparents."
Luke gave up on trying to make it sound wonderful.
"But what about Thad's parents?"
Thad's parents lived in Virginia, a short 2 hours away. The move would devastate them. But Luke would bet his next 5 Americanos that Zane was using them as an excuse to keep from saying what he wanted to say. "What about us?"
"She didn't say much about them other than that they were supporting her decision, and she hoped we would as well."
Like they had a choice.
"Is this about the woman in the car?"
Zane spat the words.
"Thad loved his wife and kids, and he was not having an affair."
Luke repeated the phrase that had become his own personal mantra.
"There is an explanation."
Zane held up his hands in surrender.
"Man, you don't have to convince me. I'm asking if we need to convince Rose."
Luke didn't say anything for a quarter of a mile as they continued around the lake loop. The late April morning was cool and crisp, with a faint hint of something floral in the air. It was shaping up to be a beautiful day in North Carolina. Maybe he would see if Betsy and Bobby could go fishing this afternoon. He'd promised them he would take them sometime, back when he thought he had all the time in the world. Not less than 6 weeks. He couldn't blame Rose. Wouldn't. But it still hurt. Was Zane right?
Did they need to try to convince Rose? I don't think this is about the woman in the car, not directly. I don't think she suspects Thad of infidelity. I think she suspects us of keeping her in the dark. She's no more in the dark than the rest of us. Zane swiped at a branch. Thad was up to something. I don't believe for a second that there was anything inappropriate going on, but whatever he was doing, it got him killed.
They finished the run with no more conversation. What more was there to say that they hadn't already covered a million times? Luke slowed to a walk as they exited the tree line and approached the parking lot. Zane fell into step beside him. They were 15 feet away from Zane's car, the finest late-model sedan the U.S. Secret Service had to offer, when a shot split the air, and Zane hit the ground. Luke dropped beside him. Another shot, and the ground spat dirt into Luke's face. He strained to hear something, anything, that would give him a clue as to the shooter's location, but his ears throbbed with the sound of his own heartbeat. Nothing else.
Zane?
Luke hissed. Zane stirred beside him. Relief flooded through Luke.
You hit? Arm. You? Missed me. Can you move? Oh, do I have a choice?
Both men crawled toward the relative safety of Zane's car. Two more shots peppered their path, and the distinctive scent of burnt gunpowder infiltrated the morning haze. A third shot left Luke's leg burning like someone had branded him. But after the next shot, Zane dropped to his chest and didn't move. Luke gave up all attempts at staying low. He grabbed Zane under the arms and dragged him behind his car, leaving a trail of blood to mark their progress. Another crack split the air, and the toe of Zane's running shoe disintegrated before Luke's eyes. Luke made sure Zane was completely hidden by the vehicle before he stopped and eased Zane's body to the ground.
Stay with me, buddy. Hang in there.
Luke twisted his wrist, tapped his watch until the phone keypad appeared and dialed 911. Zane mumbled something Luke didn't catch. While he waited for the call to go through, he patted Zane's pockets, looking for the keys. Zane grabbed Luke's arm and jabbed a finger in the direction of the car before his head dropped back to the ground. Luke bent lower to get a look at whatever it was Zane had been trying to show him. The 911 dispatcher was saying something, but Luke didn't respond. The wires hanging from the axle didn't belong. Neither did the slab of C4 they were attached to. Two more shots rang out. This time, they hit Zane's car.
We have to move!
Luke wasn't sure if Zane was still conscious, but he didn't have time to worry about that. Once more, he grabbed Zane under the arms and dragged, this time away from the car. His own car was a good 100 feet away, but staying beside a vehicle that was ready to blow wasn't any safer than risking the trip to the other side. Around the halfway point, the glorious sounds of sirens filtered through the surrounding trees. Then, the ground shook, and everything went dark.
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerkerfiction.com.